Hello everyone, welcome to a bonus Pinken.com Norwich City podcast here at Archant Towers, the Archant Towers Norwich City Transfer Centre, which has been closed for business since 7 o'clock tonight. My name is Michael Bailey, and with Paddy Davitt and Dave Freezer, we're all here, and there are a few people around putting the papers to bed as usual, Pad, but Norwich City's transfer window got put to bed nice and easy, and kind of what we were expecting too, I guess.
Yeah, it was. All the signals indicated it would be a quiet one, but still, until you get the actual stand down, then you're never quite sure. I mean, even today, there's been various bits and pieces. I've seen Zimmerman, I've seen Watkins touted with moves. Glenn Middleton was a bit of a surprise, let's be honest. And as it turns out, that's the only real confirmed piece of business. You know, possibly it'll be who's still here rather than who's gone, i.e. Mr. Madison, that will probably go down as a very good window for Norwich, because, you know, once Pritchard had gone, there was a fear that he would follow. But, you know, it appears Norwich were very keen to hold on to him unless mega money came in. Mega money didn't come in, despite all the speculation. And we go forward with James Madison in Norwich's midfield. So I think now what most fans probably want to see is the new signings, who we briefly got a glimpse of Leitner at Brentford. But I think they want to see, are these guys capable of influencing games at Championship level? And that's probably going to be the ultimate deciding factor on whether this is a good window or not. You know, if Hernandez looks like he can play in the Championship, Leitner comes to the party, and Trebeni, more intriguingly, scores some goals, then it could turn out to be some inspired business.
Yeah, spot on. Kenny McLean, of course, joined as well, but he's spending the rest of the season over at Aberdeen. He's already scored two goals tonight against Ross County, so he's absolutely flying. That's good. We'll see him in the summer. We'll just touch on the Glenn Middleton one, I'm sure, because that was the main business of today. It's strange to have something pop up where I go, ooh, at my sort of notification, but that one did. Interesting that Glenn Middleton's sale didn't even get a mention in Stuart Webber and the club's wrap that they put out at 7 o'clock. I think they've firmly pegged it in the, you know, 18-year-old leaves to join an academy at another club. So, but he was a little bit more than that in terms of the prospect and the promise that he had as well.
I think so, yeah. The people who attend the under-18s and under-23s game regularly, he'd already become quite a favourite with them. So those who have seen him play know that he's quite an exciting player. He's fast, he's strong. He's just got a bit of a knack to beat a man when you probably don't expect him to get to the byline, get a ball into the box. And he's got a good finish on him as well. He was nominated for the Scottish FA's Goal of the Year last year for a goal for the Scotland under-19s, I think it was. So yeah, he's a highly rated guy, and I guess most people are just a bit nervous that this is one that will come back to bite the club if he goes on to get into the Rangers first team, to, you know, ideally become a Scotland international. That's, you know, what he's dreaming of, clearly. But it's, well, the club have said that there's a sell-on clause involved in the deal, so hopefully they've covered themselves, and clearly they've made a judgment that they feel they can let him go.
He obviously was in a hurry. That's the thing, the impression I get, that he was a guy in a hurry, and I'm sure he'll get some first team opportunities. I guess the bit that we saw some quite, you know, let's be honest, there hasn't been much of a meltdown today, which is nice, but of the criticism that has been around was obviously regarding Middleton's sale, because that was the only bit of business done. People questioning the fact that actually this whole Norwich setup is supposed to be built around young academy players coming through. It's literally the importance of what Norwich are trying to do going forward. Therefore, one of the brightest in the under-18 group, which I think is fair to say, him leaving probably has people questioning that and almost being concerned.
Yeah, rightly so. I think the way you've mapped it out is how it does feel. It does seemingly on the face of it look a little bit contradictory. Now, clearly, even at that guy's level, if his desire was to go to Rangers, which apparently is his boyhood club, then I'm sure that's a factor. As you rightly say, the quotes from the academy guy at Norwich, Weaver, is that he clearly feels that he's ready to get in and around the first team setup. He's not going to get that here. You look at the logjam in front of him. But I think ultimately what this boils down to is, whether he's a Rangers fan or not, he wouldn't be going if Stuart Webber felt he was a guy who could come through a la Jamal Lewis, Madison to a lesser degree, but in terms of the blossoming of Madison, he clearly has made the decision, because ultimately he's the figurehead for the football pyramid at the club. Obviously, we'll have taken soundings from Weaver, I would imagine, but maybe Daniel Farker as well, that they don't think he is potentially going to train on, to use a racing analogy. So if that is the case, let him go. At the first team level, it's about thinning out the squad. That's clearly happening at academy level, and not just on the pitch, but with all the coaching as well. It's basically now any fat is getting trimmed, and it's maximum efficiency. And if they don't feel Glenn Middleton is going to, you know, from the level he's at now, push on to the degree that they want, then ultimately they've made the call. But as Dave rightly said, time will tell. You know, if he, it's worth stressing as well. You know, you read it from the Rangers end, he's clearly gone into their development pool. You know, this is Glenn Middleton, our new first team signing. They're very much viewing him as a development option. But if he does accelerate his progress into Rangers' first team, then who knows? We will see. But, you know, with the greatest respect to Scottish football, Rangers in the SPL trailing way behind Celtic is a long way from the Championship. We need to bear that in mind.
It'll be really interesting, and no issues with the racing analogies either. That's something that does really well. And you're actually going to take in some Cheltenham action. Are we allowed to say that on the pod?
Why not? Gold Cup day, yeah, I'm coming for you. Looking forward to it. A few Guinnesses, yeah, it'd be nice.
I've been a couple of times. Yeah, it's a cracking day. It's an amazing atmosphere, certainly when the Gold Cup is held. But, yeah, it's expensive as well.
Well, that depends how good you are at it, Dave. Yeah, I mean, that probably sums up deadline day a little bit, going off on tangents and distracting ourselves. We've done that on a couple of the videos today. Loads of those over at the Pinken Facebook page, which is, of course, fb.me/thepinken and the Pinken YouTube channel. And you can find links to most of those at pinken.com. Dave, you've got a lovely printed out bit of paper with a lot of outs. A lot of outs, a lot of loans. And I hope this is in a better, more consistent order than your board, which has already been criticised on Twitter.
I think I've caused a few heart attacks with that, with going against people's OCD, because I've listed the transfer fee first and then the club for some and then vice versa. So, yeah, that's been very confusing for people. But, 24
I don't like it, just to be clear. You know, it's like a hodgepodge, Dave. You need to be consistent. Anyway, carry on.
I certainly need to be neater with it. There's no doubt about that. Check out my Twitter if you want to know what we're talking about. 24 deals in total, 6 ins and 18 outs, so not quite summer levels where it was 41 deals, but I don't think we'll ever see a summer like that again, will we? You hope. the one sort of sticking point is Kenny McLean, who came in but then went back out, as you've already mentioned a little while ago. But yeah, it's been an eventful month. I've just written a piece which has just gone up to pinken.com, which has looked at it chronologically and how the whole window unfolded, really. And in amongst it all, obviously, Alex Pritchard feels like sort of ancient history now, doesn't he? The £11 million sale, we're starting off at £11 million anyway. And Russell Martin, Stephen Naismith, Cameron Jerome, you know, big names, big exits. So it's certainly not been a quiet month.
And as our colleague Chris Wise mentioned, you know, the only disappointment for some people may well be the sale of Alex Pritchard, but you remove the sale of Alex Pritchard, you don't bring anyone in.
Yeah, quite right. And that again was very clearly stated, you know, in order, and that was the same in the summer. If they wanted to bring anybody in, then we're unfortunately going to have to let people go. And yeah, in an ideal world, I mean, Farker, he made no apology for, you know, giving off a vibe that he, on a footballing level, had no desire to see Alex Pritchard go. Realised what a key man he was. We saw that after his delayed arrival following the ankle surgery, that him and Maddison were almost immediately on that wavelength. We saw the Birmingham game, the prime example. Trying to think of the next game at Carrow Road, where they were good as well. Was it Millwall? Millwall, yeah, New Year's Day. So, yeah, if you're Daniel Farker, you don't want Alex Pritchard leaving, because Alex Pritchard is a very good player. But he also understood the financial reality, and as Dave says, at those figures, I think it made good sense. You know, they only paid the $6 million, the $5 million to Tottenham, because none of the potential add-ons that would have took that deal up to $8 million were ever activated. So you've paid out $5 million, you've sold him for $11 million plus, minus a cut to Tottenham. That strikes me as good business, because, you know, as was proven, they didn't have him for the first 5 months of the season, and Maddison was able to blossom. And I just think moving forward, it it's one of those where if they were going to keep Maddison, which they have done, I think they could allow Pritchard to go. But sadly, I think we'll be repeating that scenario with Maddison himself in the summer, and that's the reality of it. So, yes, it's good tonight that he's still in the building, but I'll be amazed, frankly, if by the end of the summer window he's still in a Norwich shirt.
Yes, absolutely, and I think so much of that comes down to who wants him, how much they're going to pay, and where things go. What a joy that'll be. Let's leave that one for the summer, I think, because we've already had a whole window of it now, haven't we? A couple of interesting ones, of course. Todd Campbell has gone off to the Dutch second division with Fortuna Sittard. What else did we have that I thought was interesting? Harry Toffolo's spell at Norwich City coming through the ranks, that's over. He's joined Millwall on a permanent deal, but only until the end of the season. And of course the loans of, say, Ben Godfrey has been extended until the end of the season too, and we've lost Cameron Jerome, and Yannick Wiltshire of course is on loan at Cardiff for the rest of the season. Miley Watkins is still a Norwich City player and will be until the summer. Are Norwich short? We had a poll, didn't we, on the website that's saying Norwich was still a striker light. Lots of people have brought up about the right back position, which Harrison Reed in his pants managed to fill for a little bit on the Brentford. Do you guys feel Norwich are short in any areas? Are there any areas that concern you?
Well, yeah, ideally, I think you would like another right back in. Well, I would like another right back in. Not just as cover for Ivo Pinto, to be honest. I think he needs competition as much as anything. I think long term, Ivo's a top guy, obviously, but I think long term I'd be making Grant Hanley captain with the way that he's been performing in the last couple of months. Certainly he's almost becoming a bit Malky Mackay-esque, dare I say. But I suppose, you know, austerity has reached Carrow Road as well, and having two right backs isn't something they feel they can carry. Harrison Reed did fine at Brentford, well in parts. In others, he obviously looked like a midfielder playing at right wing back. So, yeah, there's that one. Striker, obviously we need to see what Dennis Shrabani can bring to the party. If he can pick up the speed of the Championship, then great, that's not a problem. But obviously you need Nelson Oliveira to really find his form as well, don't you? Because it's eight games without a goal. So yeah, I think Daniel's got enough to play with. It's just getting consistency out of them. Whether you can get enough consistency to get close to the playoffs, I think, is going to be a big ask.
How do you see the squad, Pat?
Yeah, no, everything Dave's mapped out there, I think that's probably the way it is. You know, they do look a bit light right back area, and the top end of the pitch are not scoring goals, and that is what will ultimately probably stunt their potential upward mobility, because it's clear now, if you're in any doubt, they have a platform. Dave's mentioned Hanley, that three with Zimmerman and Closer with Gunn behind them, very solid now. You put Tete in front. Mario Vrančić has stepped up, I feel, in the last month, 6 weeks. Tribal still come back in. So defensively, it to me, it feels like it's there. The formula works, but can they add the goals now? Can they add the creativity? You know, and again, we're back down to Carrow Road this weekend. Middlesbrough, it hasn't been good at Carrow Road. It's been drab for the most part. And until we see something different to what we're seeing to this extended period of the season, I think you can forget about sort of top six, top eight. But it's very much, I mean, Farker is quite happy now to talk openly about this now. Rest of the season is all about next season. It's all about laying the groundwork for a really concerted effort next season. So if that is the case, then he needs to find, he's got the formula defensively for me now without the ball. Can we add a little bit of embellishment going forward? And that's why, yeah, it's nice to see Hernandez come in. Leitner should add something, and Shrabani's the one. Because it clearly isn't working at the moment with Oliveira up the top end of the pitch, and I think he needs to have competition. Since Jerome went, he knew he was starting every week, and now maybe if he's looking over his shoulder a little bit, that might just bring a little bit extra out of him.
I thought it was a really interesting change in tone from Daniel, actually, after Brentford, that it was, you know, very much we're building for next year and we're not going to worry about what happens this year, although I'm sure there's a little bit of him that is probably still a little bit interested in what yet could happen this year. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about the transfer window? Because we are now entering the deadline ourselves. We can officially put this to bed. any more last words?
I feel we should probably just explain the Harrison Reed in his pants comment, actually.
Go on, Dave. your story, my
just,
man.
Just briefly, but he came out to speak to the media after the game, initially in his pants and towel, before deciding to go and put on some clothes. So just to give that some context. But yeah, I was quite surprised to see Daniel mention next season after Brentford, but I can't really see a downside to doing that. It takes the pressure off the players to a certain extent, in the same way that billing them as underdogs before they went to Brentford, that's just classic psychology from a manager, isn't it? You know, if Jose Mourinho or Alex Ferguson would have done that, people would have been hailing it as a masterstroke, whereas Daniel seemed to get some sort of questions over it. And that's one of the biggest things, I think, from this transfer window to sum up, is that we've now got Daniel Farke, as he is very clearly the man in charge at Carrow Road. His feet are under the table, the club are fully behind him. It's his squad, him and Stuart Webber have now put their stamp firmly on things. And hopefully over the next 6 months, if he can finish the season in a positive fashion and some of these players kick on, then I think he's got a decent platform to build something. You know, he mentions the word extraordinary, doesn't he, that he's looking to achieve something extraordinary. And it would be quite extraordinary if they can manage to find their way back to the Premier League with this model. So hopefully they've put the foundations there to build something.
We're still dreaming and we are still awake, I would imagine, is very much the essence of where things are. I've written in my column, Pad, that it feels like now there are no distractions. I mean, maybe this is the sort of post-window haze of four new signings with Marcus Edwards, of course, that we'll get to see, hopefully. No more cup distractions, which arguably have derailed them in the league twice to varying degrees. It feels like they've now got a clear run, and with the best will in the world, if they can keep it together, they've proven they can string together good results against really good sides. And you know, they could move within 2 points of Middlesbrough if they do beat them on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I mean, Stuart Webber, as a soundbite just popped into my head, he's maintained all along that the second half of the season is when you will really see things start to come together. You know, there was so much upheaval. We've touched on it there, 40-plus players, a new head coach, a new football model with a sporting director. Very unrealistic to expect the first half of the season that would all come together. It did for one glorious period, and as you say then, it almost got derailed by the League Cup, didn't it? That's what it felt like. But if this is now the start of a really consistent seam of form and results, then yes, I think that they should be looking to finish on the front foot. But I just think in terms of the top six picture, they've probably left themselves too much to do. But I would think most Norwich fans, if they could see them round about the 8th, 10th position come May, and they've seen some real progression and these new lads bedding in, while inevitably maybe going to lose one or two of the big players in the summer, I still think that there would be a sense that this is coming together, that there is something that's being built here, and it's something that they can get behind, because that's ultimately the hard part in all of this for me, is that they're not giving their fan base at Carrow Road enough to get behind and think, yes, I can see tangible results on the pitch. It's fine if you're going away at the moment, but if you're a season ticket holder at Carrow Road, you must be scratching your head and thinking, well, we're 6, 7, 8 months into this project and I'm not seeing anything to convince me that this is a method which is going to get them towards the top end of the Championship. So that's why it is absolutely crucial, now, starting with Middlesbrough Saturday, that we actually see something at Carrow Road, and for the rest of the season, that we've seen on the road. And that is their biggest challenge now. Can they marry a more attacking invention with defensive resolve? They've got it down to a T away from home, but of course away from home the onus is on the home team to come out, and they can sit in and frustrate and then hit on the counter. It's a different scenario at home, so they'll know that. They're not stupid, so that's what I'm looking for now. One simple thing between now and the end of the season: can they get a formula at Carrow Road which is as residually effective as it is on the road?
Yeah, spot on, and I'm sure 25,000 people will concur. Just a shame, I guess, Tony Pulis is the first challenge and hurdle, because out of all the people you'd want to come up against, it's not really the one, is it, DF?
It isn't. That'll be a tough game on Saturday, Middlesbrough. They've not really kicked on yet under Pulis, but they've had a couple of good results away from home, actually. I think they've won their last three league games away from home, off the top of my head, that is. So, yeah, not an easy game, but I don't know. I just... it feels like it's about time something clicked for Norwich at home, doesn't it? I mean, Millwall wasn't too bad. Sheffield United, extenuating circumstances to a degree after the extra time at Chelsea while Sheffield United had their feet up in midweek. So hopefully we can see the real Norwich turn up this week. Whether we'll see any of the new boys start will be interesting as well. I mean, they've had a full week of rest. No doubt they've all been watching Sky Sports News tonight to see who's going where and sending the Instagram messages wishing everybody best of luck, like footballers like to do nowadays. I'm not sure. But, yeah, Saturday, Johnny Howson back as well, Danny Ayala, Patrick Bamford. So there's a few links there. It's going to be an interesting game. But if you can win that one, you've then got some tough games coming up. Derby away, Ipswich home, Wolves away. So if you can kick that run off with a good result, then everyone can look forward to the second half of the season.
I think most people might necessarily have forgotten Danny Ayala, and I imagine Patrick Bamford and Johnny Howson will be getting waves, but probably of varying kinds between the two of them. Let's wrap it up there, gents. Thank you very much. A pleasure to share Deadline Day with you, as always. We will be doing all the build-up and live coverage and analysis, of course, of Norwich City's visit from Middlesbrough at Carrow Road on Saturday. Pinken.com is the place before, during and after. We'll see you then. Goodbye.